back to the Mouth of the Time podcast, brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Scurge, joined by Miles Starforth and Joe Book to discuss all things going on at Newcastle United. Since our last podcast, it's been a great week. Newcastle secured three successive wins to move up to ninth in the Premier League table. First time they've been in the top half all season. 2-1 win over Leicester, 1-0 over Crystal Palace, and then 3-0 at Norwich City at the weekend. Just Miles, what a week it's been for Newcastle United and Eddie Howe.
It's been incredible, really. Those two home wins last week and then an away win. We both missed the Palace game. I was disappointed to miss that. What a result more than what a performance that night. But certainly at Norwich, it was a terrific win.
Yeah, definitely. And Joe, you're looking at the table now. It's almost like an optical illusion, we were saying before. Newcastle in the top half. And looking at that, knowing that didn't win in the opening 14 games, won one of the first 22 games in all competitions this season, deep in relegation trouble. Now we're looking at it, four games to go. They're effectively all but safe.
It's incredible, as you say, to be not just safe, but to be in the top half as well. It's mad. And to be fair, they've absolutely deserved it, especially over the last month or so, to bounce back from that Spurs defeat, which was terrible. You know, we won here saying it was, you know, terrible. And to bounce back from that and to do four wins in a row against, you know, pretty tough opposition as well. There was no easy games, and that is, yeah, fantastic. Credit to every single one of them.
Yeah, and Maz, criticism aimed at Newcastle sort of historically is sometimes they can't perform against teams at the top half. It's the teams in and around them that struggle against and the teams just above them. They've been really good at getting those wins against the teams in and around them in the table under Eddie Howe.
They have, and that's what's really pushed them up the table. They've got obviously an opportunity now to have a big say in the title race. Things are looking up the table now in terms of Liverpool and Man City games coming up. But yeah, you look at the teams they've beaten since that Tottenham game: Leicester City, Wolves, good teams, Palace, another good team, have had a terrific season. We've seen different qualities. I don't think we've seen the team at its best going forward and necessarily with the ball in some of those games, but what they've done is found a way to win in each of them. When you look at Norwich at the weekend, there was nothing really in the game for half an hour or so until that first goal. But when you're at the bottom, it's those little bits of quality that decide games, and Norwich just didn't have that in the final third of the pitch.
Yeah, and Joe, we're just going back before the Norwich game, the Palace game at St James's Park that you covered, 1-0 win, Miggy Almiron's first goal of the season. Just what did you make of that, and then following on with the Norwich win at the weekend?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, as Miles sort of touched on, it wasn't the best performance, but they got the win, as they seem to do over the last few weeks. Miggy Almiron, I thought that was his best performance for Newcastle. He had a good game a couple of years ago against West Brom in the Cup, but I thought he was terrific against Palace. Same with Emile Kraft as well, the pair of them down that side, with especially against Wilfried Zaha, because we know how, you know, tricky he can be. I thought they completely nullified Palace on that day, and it was what a finish from Almiron. I had a feeling, I don't know why, I had a feeling when Bruno hit that ball and Almiron touched it down, I knew he was going to score. I don't know how, and he shouldn't, looking at his record, you know, Almiron isn't the most prolific. What was his first goal in over a year? But it was a tremendous goal, and yeah, it was just a fantastic team performance. And other than one shot at the end or a couple of efforts from Zaha, Palace had nothing, and the defence nullified them, as they've done every game. And then again with Norwich, they had a few chances early on. Dowell missed a couple, but then after that, as soon as they scored, they never ever looked like relinquishing the lead. And it was just complete control from about 30 minutes onwards, really.
Yeah, and Miles, Joe just touched on it there. We've seen players you could argue are fighting for the future at Newcastle, really. The likes of Almiron, Emile Kraft being one of them as well. They've really come to the fore the past few games. And just touch on Emile Kraft in particular, because Eddie Howe spoke about him after the Leicester game. What have you made of his performances in the absence of Kieran Trippier?
Yeah, I think a few months ago, certainly when Howe arrived, and he previously when Bruce was a head coach, we kind of questioned what kind of future he had at the club. We questioned the signing in some ways. We've seen him play as a centre half, as well as in the fullback position. We've seen him have some pretty difficult games, difficult afternoons, difficult nights for this team. We think back to the Chelsea away game when he had not so much his own fault. He had two people running at him for most of the game. He's had some difficult times, and to his credit, really, he stuck at it. And finally, we've seen the kind of player that obviously the club saw when they signed him. So it's as much about his character as anything. He's, you know, as a fullback, he's not going to get up and down the pitch like some others. But what he brought is a real solidity to that position in recent weeks. And you look at the defensive record since that Spurs game, and it's been terrific. And he's got to take a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and Joe Emile Croft, is he one who's maybe changed your opinion the past few weeks? Maybe you would have said sell him in the summer. Has he changed your view on that, maybe?
Definitely. I was viewed Manquillo as the second option behind Trippier. I always thought he was the best fullback of the club. But yeah, I mean, Emile Croft's got in ahead of Manquillo. I think, with injury problems. But, you know, he's deserved a space at right back, and he deserved to be that deputy for Kieran Trippier. Obviously, as soon as Trippier's back fit, he'll come straight back in, but it's a nice option to have. And I think, you know, Kraft has played as a centre-back as well as a back five, if that's an option. So it is good for versatility, but it's good to see the whole team, you know, how making four changes for Norwich, and they're not even missing a beat. It doesn't look like any of them really sort of looked out of place or looked unfit or anything. It was just fantastic to see the whole, as I said, the whole squad performing well over these last few weeks.
Yeah, that's one credit to how the way players have just been able to slot in and after not starting games and just really make an impact. And a player who has really made an impact this past week in particular, Bruno Guimarães, had 3 goals and an assist in 3 starts, 3 games for Newcastle. Miles, we're seeing a proper player at Newcastle this past few weeks or so.
Yeah, it's hard to think of a signing who's made, you know, that kind of impact, certainly in midfield. I think that finish at Norwich, first of all, he had the presence of mind to be there and take that pass from Krul. He was quickest to it. Anyone else on that pitch would have just tried a conventional finish. He rolled the ball over, you know, rolled his foot over the ball, set himself up for that little dink, and it was just a lovely, lovely finish. What a moment for him and the fans there. It was terrific.
Yeah, and even his assist for Miguel Almirón, Joe, great assist in that Palace game. Goal contributions is probably something we didn't think Bruno would necessarily bring to the level he has when he first signed from Lyon. I think he'd only scored 3 goals there in 2 years. Now he's got 3 goals in the space of a week, 4 goals in total. Is this just a good run of form for Bruno, or do you think he genuinely has the makings of being that number 8 who can contribute regularly in terms of goal and assist and push that sort of double figure mark, if you like?
No, I think it's definitely a bit of a purple patch. I think, to be fair, throughout the whole team, there's not, you know, Callum Wilson's still top scorer, so none of them are really flying at the minute. But I just, for me, the goals Bruno scoring are really good. You know, the one against Southampton was just a nice instinctive finish. The 2 against Leicester, you know, to go, especially that first one with Kasper Schmeichel, to see the opportunity and then just to keep at it, to keep, you know, getting that shot away. Obviously, the last minute, the desire to get in the box last minute. And then again at Norwich, the lovely finish. They're different types of goals, and it is good to see. And it's good to see people like Bruno chipping in when we haven't got, you know, when my striker isn't scoring. And I'm surprised it took us 7 minutes to mention Bruno on this podcast right now. Although it would be only about 30 or 40 seconds. But no, it was another fantastic performance.
The Leicester game, Hal said, you know, he hadn't been brought here for his goals, but he's not just scoring spectacular goals. That one with Kasper Schmeichel shows he can score a scruffy goal as well, which suggests, yeah, I think you're right, Joe, in terms of this is a purple patch. This, not many players can maintain this type of form, but on this evidence, why can't he score 5 to 10 goals a season, in a full season, which would be a terrific contribution from his position.
Yeah, and Miles, another person who really contributed at Norwich, Joe Linton, on his 100th Premier League appearance, his first Premier League brace from the club. What did you make of his performance and what he brought to the game overall?
Of course, he started the game up front, and I don't think that's ever going to be his best position. It isn't his best position. He's not a a player that attacks things in the box like a conventional centre forward, you know, should attack things. He was switched to the left, which, you know, he favours that side of the pitch. And from there, he scored his goals. And what he is good at, any loose balls in the box, any things breaking from him, he's got the quality to finish. He can finish without necessarily being a conventional number nine. It was a lovely, lovely, lovely moment. Two lovely moments for him on it. What was his 100th Premier League appearance? He's got that quality in the final third. We've seen him at his best this season, deeper. But it's a great option for Howe to have a player like that who can play in midfield but can also play that bit further up the pitch and bring a goal threat. There's so many turnarounds this season. And his is probably one of the most significant. And in a sense, it all dates back with him to that Norwich game out of the misfortune of having Kieran Clarke sent off. That whole performance seemed to galvanise the team, pushed Jalin into a slightly different position in which he's excelled since then. So in a kind of funny kind of way, that dismissal, Kieran Clarke's dismissal against Norwich, really set the team up for what was to follow, because, you know, we saw how the crowd reacted, the team reacted that night. And then, of course, Jalinton's performance that night in that position really made such a difference.
Yeah, and Joe, you've previously heaped the praise on Joe Linton on this podcast, but do you think his transformation from that Norwich game to where he is now is sort of embodied Newcastle's season, if you like, and how they've turned around as a club in the past 4 or 5 months?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, no one expected it. And yet, you know, here we are. It's brilliant. It just shows how much confidence plays a part, because, you know, if a year ago, 2 years ago, you put Joe Linton up front or put him up front and then shift him out wide, you probably lose a bit of confidence. But you can just see that he's just full of it. And just when that ball broke to him for the first goal, he just hit it like he meant it. And I've not seen that too many times from Joe Linton. You know, I think I always have a complaint that he never seems to hit the ball properly. He always seems to, not necessarily scuff it, but there's always doesn't seem to be enough power on his shots. But yeah, he was fantastic. And as you say, the whole squad turned around from that Norwich game, from January, everything. It's been a great few months to support the club. And that, you know, with Liverpool and Man City to come and lots of hard games, if that's where the season finishes, you know, that might be the pinnacle of the season. What a way to end it. It was a terrific day and a terrific week or so.
Yeah, and big games coming up. How made changes for the Norwich game? Miles, do you expect that to continue going into Liverpool this weekend?
Yeah, you'd expect one or two of those who sat out the Norwich game. They were all on the bench. It wasn't as if the players who dropped out of the team weren't involved. They're all fit enough to play some part if needed. We'd imagine two or three of those will come back into the team. Fabian Scher, certainly, he's been the cornerstone of the defence and the defensive improvement. Then you've got Shelby, who's done very well. You would imagine some of these players are going to come back into the team for what is, probably one of the toughest time games of the season.
Yeah, and it's 6 wins in a row now at home. Obviously, a little bit biased, but Joe, you've been in the press box, you've been in the stands this season. Do you think there can't be too many better places to watch football in England right now than St James's Park, do you think?
Absolutely not. It's an incredible atmosphere. From my seat, usually it's normally good atmosphere, but then to be in the press box, you get it from all sides, you know, and it was so loud against Crystal Palace. And that was just, you know, no disrespect to Crystal Palace, but that was just a Wednesday night game against Crystal Palace with nothing on the line, really. So I think it'll be Saturday's match with, you know, Liverpool. I remember what it was like a couple of years ago against Liverpool at the end of the season. I think it was Rafa Benitez's last home game. So I think that will be another amazing atmosphere on Saturday. It'll be, if I was Liverpool, I wouldn't want to be, my next game, I wouldn't want Newcastle away. That would be the one game you look at, especially on the back of a Champions League game. Now, obviously, they're going to be favourites and massively so and rightly so, but it's a massive game for Liverpool. And, you know, it's going to be an intimidating atmosphere, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And Newcastle haven't won 7 home games in a row since 1995 under Kevin Keegan. And on Saturday, the host of Liverpool side, the only team to have picked up more Premier League points than them in 2022. Miles, like Joe says, Newcastle go into the game underdogs, but given the last six games, have they got a chance? What are your thoughts going into it?
Well, the great thing is they could lose every game now and they stay up, they're safe.
Yeah.
But I think we've seen enough from this team to suggest that this team isn't going to settle with 43 points. There's enough hunger, intensity and desire there. We saw that at Norwich, you know, after they reached the 40-point mark to suggest they're going to pick up more points this season. And you certainly wouldn't bet against them taking something from this Liverpool team. You're right, Liverpool won't necessarily fancy this game. They know what St James's Park has been like recently. And with Liverpool being the visitors, it's going to, the atmosphere probably go up a notch or two, if that's possible. And with players to come back into the team, confidence is there at home, especially. And you certainly fancy them to maybe take something from this game and have a say in this title race over the next couple of games.
Yeah, definitely. And the 12:30 kickoff, Joe, you alluded to it before, Liverpool hosting Villarreal on Wednesday, and Jurgen Klopp sort of suggested it was a bit unfair that his side would then have to go to Newcastle so early for the early kickoff, and Liverpool appealed the kickoff time, looking to get a change, but that was turned down. Joe, do you feel it was the right call to keep the kickoff time the same, or do you sort of see where Liverpool are coming from?
No, I think it was absolutely the right call. I mean, for a start, you can't call a game off with a week, you know, change the time of a game a week, 2 weeks in advance, when everyone would have booked hotels, travels, tickets. The only sympathy I've got for Jurgen Klopp, and it's not really sympathy for him, I just think that if the game was a 7:45 kickoff, which I think he was, you know, one of the ones that he might have wanted, that would have made for a really, really special atmosphere at St. James's. Sometimes the lunchtime kickoffs can be a bit flat. I don't think it will be a bit flat, but sometimes it can be. But that's the only thing, that maybe a 7:45 kickoff would have seen the very best St. James's Park. But, you know, if Liverpool want to win the Champions League, the FA Cup and all these competitions, they've got to play two games in a week. And it doesn't matter when, for me, it doesn't matter when you play them, because no, however much rest they get beforehand, they're going to get more after, if that makes sense, or they're going to get less after. So, you know, they've got enough strength and depth to play that game. So play it and play the best team, and let's see which, you know, may the best team win.
Yeah, and Miles, you've been in London at lunchtime. You've been down at Southampton on a Thursday night. Do you have sympathy for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, or do you agree with Joe?
No, I can quite understand why he want a later kickoff. But equally, look at Newcastle and those rearranged games against Southampton and Everton. It's not the first team which has been affected by scheduling, difficult scheduling decisions. And equally, you'd point to Liverpool's squad, one of the best in the league. If they're going to win these kind of trophies, they've got to get through weeks like this. So I can see both sides, but it's absolutely right. It wasn't changed, like Joe said, once the kickoff time was announced.
Yeah, and if Newcastle managed to better Burnley's result at Watford this weekend, or if they win and Everton fail to beat Chelsea, they'll be mathematically safe with three games left to play. So just amazing to think that's the situation, because we thought it could potentially go right down to the wire just a few months ago. But
because I think we were, you know, on that point, we were looking at the Liverpool and Man City games thinking, yeah, well, you know, that's not great when you're potentially going into those last four games needing wins to stay up. So the beauty of it is they could lose to those two. But, you know, yeah, I've got a feeling, you know, they'll take something from one or both of those games.
Yeah, and Miles, just looking at those games, you've got, like you say, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, and then Burnley, who are still fighting for their lives at the bottom. How would you like to see Newcastle approach those games, knowing that they are pretty much safe in the knowledge that they'll be playing Premier League football next season?
I think it'll be more of the same. I don't think it's necessarily a chance or a time for Eddie Howe to be making widespread changes with a view to next season, to be necessarily trying things. I think they've got to approach each game as they have been doing to win. That's been a big change in the approach. They're such a positive approach to games. What was interesting, Eddie Howe at Norwich after the game in his press conference, he said, we've been playing resilient, organised football because of the position we're in. And he said, what I was pleased about was the way the team played, because the shackles have come off a little bit. So there's a subtle change there in terms of their approach to games, in the way they play games. So whether you can take the shackles off against Liverpool, Man City, you'd question that. But certainly in that Burnley game, the final game, I can imagine they're going to go for it, and I imagine they would against Arsenal. They will against Arsenal as well. Though Liverpool, Man City, of course, is a different proposition.
Yeah, and Joe, just going into these final four games, how many points would you be targeting for Newcastle to sort of the position they should be looking to finish the season in?
I think six. I mean, it'd be nice to get 50 points. I think, you know, 7 points, that would be a big ask, but that would be nice to break that sort of barrier. But I just think with the home form, if you can get one of the wins between, you know, against Liverpool and Arsenal, and then a win at final day against Burnley, you know, 6 points, I think that would be a good return, I think. But as you say, it doesn't matter. And I would just like, for me, it's all about the performances of the next, especially the next two games, and just trying to have a say in how the Premier League goes. You know, every game that Newcastle play will affect the top and the bottom of the division. So I just like to see good performances and give, as Miles said, give them, you know, see them giving it a go, especially now they've got no pressure on, and seeing what an Eddie Howe team, you know, pressure-free could look like, because it's going to be an exciting few games, I know that much.
Yeah, and we'll have it all covered over on the Shields Gazette website, on Twitter, everything like that. We'll be at Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday morning and the Liverpool game at St James's Park this Saturday, and we'll have all the updates there. We're also running a spring subscription offer over on the Shields Gazette, which will give you unlimited ad-like access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions and use the code SPRING22 for 1 month free and 50% off for 4 months. On that, if you like what we do, just be sure to check that out and make the most of that while you can. So for now, Joe, Miles, it's been a pleasure as always. And thank you, everyone, for listening to the Mouth of the Time podcast. We'll see you next time. Cheers.